When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everyone, to Dynamite, this weekly Toronto Raptors show. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in today. Coming up on the show this week, we look at a Hall of Famer who played for the Toronto Raptors, or I guess future Hall of Famer. We go over a couple of big wins. That's how we're starting the show today. Look, we all know what's going on with this Raptors team. Team Tank is well underway. And they are absolutely really getting after it in that sense. But it is nice to win a couple. You know, it's good that they're not going to end the season on a losing streak that takes up a quarter of the year. So from that, like, I don't think it affects the standings for them all that much. I don't think it's going to drastically change the draft pick and all of that. And it's just nice to get some of these players rewarded for a couple of their games this week. Now, the most recent one against the Indiana Pacers, that one didn't go particularly well, although they got off to a pretty good start. And this is something we've talked about for a bit. It's getting some experience for some of these other players and seeing where they can kind of fit in now in the grand scheme of things. And in this last game, it was Freeman Liberty, at least in the first quarter. I guess we'll say the first half. He played some very good basketball. He was hitting from range. He was getting to the rim. He felt pretty good about where he was at. And so, again, I don't think he's going to start for the Raptors next season. Lord, I hope not. I don't even know how many minutes he's going to play. But you know that if he is called upon, there will be a few moments where you can actually, you know, trust him in those spots. It's great to see RJ out there and playing. I just love the attacking mindset that he has. And I love how aggressively he is looking to get to the rim. So overall, there isn't going to be a whole lot you can take from these games. Defensively, they got absolutely gashed by Indiana. Again, the Pacers are going to do that to you. There's just not enough talent on this team right now. But you're seeing guys like Nuara coming up and playing some significant minutes in these games down the stretch. Again, not significant for what it means in the standings, but just significant for, okay, that this is how this team is going to grow, and this is how we're going to maybe see a couple diamonds in the rough or something like that. We've already seen a fair amount out of guys like Dick and Agbaji, and I think Freeman Liberty has earned himself at least a few minutes going into next season. But the main focus of today is going to be on the first great Toronto Raptor, someone whose number will go into the rafters someday at whatever it's called now, Scotiabank Arena, formerly the Air Canada Centre. It is half man, half amazing, Vince Carter, as he was announced as one of the inductees into the Basketball Hall of Fame, along with Chauncey Billups, who also used to play with the Toronto Raptors. But I thought today was a good time to kind of look at Vince Carter and look at why he was so great, why it is such a controversial topic for some, and a few other things. Swig of water for the working man. Sorry. First of all, like, this is just so well-deserved, right? Like, it is some fantastic longevity for Vince Carter. He played right up until the pandemic. Like, the halt of the NBA season ended his career, basically. But that is a very long time to be playing in the National Basketball Association. And at his highs, there were very few that were better than him. And there were some high expectations on him. Being a powerful dunker coming out of North Carolina, there are going to be some comparisons to a certain GOAT. But So, I mean, look, if you were expecting him to be the next Jordan, he probably fell short. But I would say he transformed, or at least helped transform, two franchises. The first, obviously, being the Raptors. And then he really took the New Jersey Nets to, I don't want to say another level, because they made it to the finals before him. But he really did help bring that team into a bit more of a national discussion on a relatively consistent basis. And that was based on, like, him and Jason Kidd had an amazing rapport, Richard Jefferson there as well. But this was a very talented player, could kind of do everything offensively that you needed, and, like, just one of the most exciting players in the league. And I would say, while we did our greatest Raptors of all time rankings a bit before, and he was not number one, that goes to Kyle Lowry, he is probably the most important Raptor in the history of this franchise. He had, like... Look, they had a couple of, like, moments before Vince Carter. You have Damon Stoudemire. That's about it. But with Vince, he was the one who came in and made it must watch. He put the Raptors, it's very cliche, but he did put the Toronto Raptors on the map with his exciting style of play and elevated this team in ways that no one had been able to in the few years before he really... burst onto the scene, or the couple years, I guess, before he really burst onto the scene. But he made this team one that you had to watch. Even in the first couple of years when it wasn't overly competitive, you still had to watch what this guy and this team was going to do because of how electric and exciting he really was. And he made it cool to be a Raptor. And he made it cool to be a Raptor fan as well. You would see Vince Carter jerseys in music videos and all over the place in pop culture. And then he goes off and does the dunk contest and it just becomes it, right? Like he's in the commercials for TNT. He's in the commercials for ESPN. He's getting shoe commercials. We weren't getting Raptors in those. And at that time, you look at the other big North American sport that Toronto has a team in, and it's Major League Baseball. We weren't getting Carlos Delgado in those type of commercials. Carlos Delgado wasn't getting the Blue Jays on ESPN or on Fox. Carlos Delgado wasn't getting the Blue Jays in ESPN commercials. He wasn't getting shoe deals and stuff like that. And that's not a slight to him. It's just the coolness factor that Vince Carter brought. And you look at the differences between how things went down with the Vancouver Grizzlies and how it went down with the Toronto Raptors. Obviously, there's a lot that goes into the Grizzlies thing. And I don't think they would have folded the franchise in 6 years or whatever it was if Vince Carter isn't Vince Carter. But he certainly put this team in a position where they were able to be successful, both financially and from a basketball standpoint, and really, like, kind of put the "can basketball work in Toronto" thing just away, because he proved that it could work. And it did work for, I mean, it's still working to this day. So I do think that when you look at important fixtures in Raptor history, he is very clearly number one, because he took this team to heights very, very quickly. And, like, obviously how he exited is very polarizing, because, like, this team was just starting to really kind of get there. That may be a bit of a stretch, but there was a stretch there where it looked like they were starting to get there. They get the playoff series win over the Knicks. You obviously go to the second round against the Philadelphia 76ers, and the shot in Game 7 kind of rims out. And that's where, at least the perception-wise, it does feel like it starts to decline. And then all of a sudden, this guy who made it cool to be a Raptor fan kind of made it miserable to be a Raptor fan. We were always hearing about different demands. We were always hearing about different complaints and different frustrations that he had being on this Raptor team. And it kind of, like, it really hurt being a Raptor fan. I was a kid at that time. And, like, this was a guy who you looked up to, right? Like, I had Vince Carter jerseys growing up. I had the Vince Carter posters and stuff like that, right? Like, how could you not, being a basketball fan in this country? And then he basically just quit on the team. Like, I'm not going to dunk anymore. And it's like, are we not worthy? Why? You know, like you get a little bit beat up. And from a Canadian fan standpoint, all we hear in Canada, even now, like, look at the Blue Jays situation with Shohei Ohtani. Oh, well, it's better for baseball that he went to the Dodgers. And, like, all we hear in Canada is, oh, well, they don't even get ESPN. How could we watch PTI and SportsCenter? I mean, the TSN. But still, like, they like you have to go through customs every time you come back from a road trip. And it's Canada, and it's cold, even though New York's, like, right fucking there. How could you possibly want to live in such an archaic, awful, Arctic country as Canada? Like, that's, you only hear that. We don't get the national attention because certain laws make it very difficult for some of these American broadcasters to come into Canada and broadcast from there because you need a certain amount of Canadian people and blah, 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 blah. But you always, from a Canadian fan standpoint, just felt like your teams were less than. And then here comes this guy who put us on equal billing. We were getting the NBA on TBS and TNT, and we were getting the ESPN games, and we were getting all of that. And then the success was coming, and we were watching them on NBC as well at certain times. That might be, my timeline might be off on that. I think that I watched them on NBC. Either way, you're getting to watch these guys on these platforms, and you're starting to get the respect that, like, Blue Jays never got. The entire sport of hockey basically never got. And now he is just feeding into all of the self-conscious self-doubt that you have as a Canadian sports fan. It's like, why are we even bothering? If none of our teams are ever going to get attention, if none of our teams are ever going to be able to be good, why do we even bother? And then it was so limiting. And it really did set this team back for years. There was the whole, again, I'm not going to dunk. Why? 2 points is 2 points. Doesn't matter. Like, he was almost smarmy in how he left. And it really, like, everyone knew that the Raptors had to do something. And so the value that they were able to get for him was basically nothing. Couple dudes named Williams, Alonzo Mourning, who didn't play a second for the Raptors. And that was it. And to have a player that electric and that important, and to have him then leave, and to not bring back anything even close to the right value, it set this team back for years and years and years, and the better part of a decade. And they were finally able to come out of it with some great management, and then obviously, you know, championship. You can kind of, again, I have the natural light going today, but you can kind of see in the background there the guy who helped bring it all the way. But for the Raptors, It was a major setback. And so you look at this guy who was so important to this team and was so popular and so beloved, and then he left. And not only did he leave, he then goes to a rival and kicks the shit out of us. Constantly kicks the shit out of us. Including, I will never forget, the Raptors decided to do the Raptors decided to do the big, like, oh, we're doing the red out. That's what, or whatever it was. And the Nets were like, okay, cool, we have red jerseys. And it was like, God damn it. It was always so frustrating playing against him because always he had big games against the Raptors. And he loved sticking it to Toronto. For whatever reason, in his mind, he had considered Toronto the villain in all of it. With his injury issues and with all of it, he had kind of painted the Raptors as the bad guys in all of it. And we ended up just being the punching bag for years with this guy. And he was public enemy number one with the Raptors for a very, very long time. And then eventually we kind of just got over it. Like, a big part of the reason why the Raptors fans were able to get over it is the team started to be good again. You know, like, it was easy to hate them when Eric Williams is popping threes and all of a sudden Jalen Rose is the best player on the team. And then, you know, Kobe Bryant scoring 81 on them and all that stuff. And it's like, God, you know, like, it used to be fun doing this, and it's not because of that guy. But then eventually, you know, Bosch turns into a superstar. And then DeMar DeRozan is developing into what he is developing into. And then they get Kyle Lowry, and then they trade Rudy Gay and become awesome. And it goes on. And so when you are finishing first in the Eastern Conference, and when you are getting the opportunities to go play in the second round and in the conference finals and all of those sorts of things, then all of a sudden, you know, that thing that happened 10 years ago, it doesn't seem so bad now. And now we just get, like, the TikTok highlights of the big dunks and the 360s and the windmills and the between the legs and all of that. So, you know, that was pretty fun. And it made you miss him. It made you kind of forgive him. Like, I don't think, as a Raptor fan, like, just speaking personally, I don't think I'll ever fully forgive how it all went down. you just kind of move on from it, right? And then they go off and win a championship in 2019. And then all of a sudden, instead of that being a big part of the story and a big part of the struggle, it just kind of becomes a part of the journey that you passed through and eventually led you to a championship. And you can remember all the good times. And I'm happy that it happened while he was still an active player, that Raptor fans are like, no, you know what? We all as a collective have kind of forgiven this guy. They gave him a standing ovation, I think, when he was playing with Memphis. It's as he was winding his career down. And you just started to, you know what? How it ended sucked. But you appreciated the good times more than any of that. And now you can really appreciate the good times. He gets a standing ovation when he comes in as a color commentator. He gets, I think, rightfully recognized for his spot in Raptor history. And he will be, I would suggest, probably the second Toronto Raptor to have his jersey raised to the rafters after Kyle Lowry. I think it'll be Lowry. And then almost immediately after, it'll be Vince Carter. I think that's kind of how it will all go. And rightfully so, right? Like, the good far outweighs the bad with him. And the Hall of Fame is a very deserved end to a phenomenal career. And just a giant thank you to the guy who, if it wasn't for him and guys like Mo Pete there on this team, I truly don't believe we'd be enjoying the success that the Raptors had leading up to the last couple of seasons that we've been able to. So to one of the greatest of all time, a congratulations on the Hall of Fame induction. All right, that's going to do it for the show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Remember, you can follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm at Primetime Klein, twitch.tv/PrimetimePK, and you can email the show couchpotatodiary@yahoo.com. On the flagship Couch Potato Diary show coming up in a little bit, if you want more on the NBA, there's going to be a ton, as it was a busy night in the association last night. Where does everyone kind of stack up? We'll break it all down, plus some NHL, and we continue to get ready for UFC 300 with a legacy look at the Ultimate Fighter. So, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll talk to all of you a little bit later. I'm out.